All right, let's go ahead and get started. Welcome. If you are looking to build keys to resilience in your life, you are in the right place. My name is Lisa Bishop, and I have the privilege of just shepherding our time together. How many of you, by show of hands, have been in a workshop of mine? I know some people look familiar. Fabulous. Welcome back. Well, we're going to talk about resilience. It's going to be, we're going to have some interaction today, so I hope that's okay as well. And, you know, as I was thinking about resilience and researching it and living through resilience in my own world, I came across the fact, you know, every year there's kind of a word of the year. And in 2023, guess what the word of the year was? Resilience. Yeah, Psychology Today, Forbes Magazine, some others kind of come together and pick the word. So I thought, yes, what better time for us to be tackling this topic of resilience than today. So we're going to work on keys to resilience. And in our time together today, here are the things that we're going to work through. We're going to define what is resilience. And then we're going to have an opportunity to take a look at what does it look like to have a resilient mindset. And then finally, I'm going to give you some practical tools and habits that you can practice so that you can build your resilience. Because as I think about spiritual resilience, I think about it in the respect of its resilience is almost like building our spiritual immune system. So what we want to do is we want to build our spiritual immune system, like not like life isn't going to happen, but when it does, how do we not be taken off course? So it's a, you know, we have physical resistance and physical resilience, but we're going to build our spiritual resilience today. To open us up, I'm going to do a little bit of an exercise. So I'm going to call out some different statements, and if it applies to you, stand. Now, even if the ones after do not apply to you, just keep standing if any of them do, okay? So if anyone has ever lost a job, if anyone has ever been waiting for what's next with the job or career, please stand. If you've ever lost someone that you love, if you've ever had your heart broken, if you've ever struggled through a difficult marriage or divorce, ever been bullied, if anyone you know or yourself has ever dealt with mental illness or some physical limitation, if you've ever had financial stress or some hardship, okay, look around the room, and everyone is standing. So the point here is that adversity does not discriminate. Go ahead and sit down. Doesn't it sometimes, when we're facing difficult times, does it sometimes feel like we're alone?
Yes.
I'm the only one. So adversity doesn't discriminate. We all share that in common, that we're going to face difficult things in our lifetime. We probably already have faced a lot of them. So again, I want to better equip us to face those things today. So what I'd like you to do in just a minute is think of a situation that you're currently facing that's causing stress, worry, and anxiety. But before that, I just want to call our attention to Proverbs 24:16 that says, though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again.
Yes.
I love this. They rise again. And this word rise in the Old Testament means to be strengthened. So even though the righteous fall seven times, they rise, they are strengthened, they are established, confirmed. It means to stand, endure, to be fixed, to be proven, to be fulfilled. Isn't that interesting? Even though we fall, we rise again. Rising is being fulfilled, and it also means to persist. And so even though we fall, we rise again. So again, think about a situation that you're currently facing that is causing stress, worry, anxiety, fear. Does anybody not have one? Okay, thank you. I was like, if you do, let's switch roles. Yeah, come on up. So let's do this. Go ahead and share with a partner, someone around you. I just want to get a feel for what is your perspective, or how would you define resilience? Like, what does resilience mean to you? It's going to be a quick partner share. Go ahead and share with someone real close to you. What is it? What's resilience? How would you define it? What words come to mind? Okay, let me hear some of them. What are the words that come to mind when you hear the word resilience? What is it?
Bounce back.
Bounce back. What else?
Keep going.
Keep going.
Persist.
Strong.
Strong.
Yep. Strength in there. What else?
Overcome.
Anything else?
Yes.
Did you say deny? Okay. Deny the negative thought. Okay. So a lot of different ways that we can define resilience, and I'm going to give us a working definition for our time here in just a minute. But before we do that, first of all, I was thinking about this, that actually the Bible is a message of hope. And if you look at it, the Bible is all about resilience, isn't it? So resilience isn't something that man made up. Like, the Bible is a story of resilience. Just even the book of Psalms is a book of resilience. So God's word has a lot to say about resilience, and I want to turn our attention to James 1. This is the Message version. It says, "Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides."
Wow.
Who thinks tests and challenges are gifts? Anyone? No. Like, okay. So, all right, consider it a sheer gift. Okay, Lord. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work in you so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. So I'm not making this thing of resilience up. And by the way, resilience is not positive thinking. That's pop psychology. Resilience is not trying to, you know, will away our emotions, but it's rather to take them and put them in their proper place and perspective. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But here's a working definition of resilience for today, is that resilience is the ability to navigate, endure, and actually bounce forward. So we've all heard bounce back. But as I was doing a little bit of research, I really loved this concept of, I'm not only bouncing back, I am bouncing forward. Isn't that a great way to even reframe that? Bounce forward from setbacks, adversity, failure, challenges, and traumatic situations. The ability to bounce forward. So in our life, when we face challenges as maybe small as, and I'm going to throw myself under the bus here in a minute. So first of all, I need to let you know that I'm a recovering perfectionist, which is really painful. And so I like things being perfect. But the Lord's like, Lisa B., I'm going to build your resilience today. So I want to point out two things about the handout that are wrong. Isn't that great? Because resilience, even in the face of, hey, I messed up at work, resilience. So from those smaller things to the bigger things in life that are traumatic. So let me just call you to that really quickly. So on your handout at the top, it says, though the righteous fall seven times, I rise again. It should be Proverbs 24:16. It's Proverbs 24:26, which I actually think is kind of humorous, because it says, an honest answer is like a kiss of friendship. So the honest answer of what we need to do to build resilience today is my smooch to you. How's that, right? I bounced forward. Like, take a mistake and make it right. And then we're going to go through what I call the seven R's of resilience here in a little bit. And you'll see that I think 2 and 3 are reversed. So we'll just keep bouncing forward on that. But yeah, so resilience is this ability to navigate, because life is going to have its setbacks. And then resilient people have a growth mindset. and experience more positive emotions, are flexible, self-aware, purposeful, faithful, live in the present, and demonstrate compassion, not only for other people, but self-compassion over self-criticism. So there's this whole concept, which I'm not going to get into, but of a growth mindset. And we know that we don't quite have a growth mindset if a majority of our thoughts are negative. Then we need to say, oh, you know what? I have a fixed mindset right now. So we're shooting for the growth mindset. And part of that is just noticing how that critical hamster wheel in our heads, that's another battle that I'm like, my friend once said to me, it must be really exhausting to be in your head. I'm like, it's very tiring. But that's what we want to do, is we want to build resilience so that we actually bounce forward. And as we talk about resilience, our mindset matters. So I'm going to go through a couple of verses that back this up. So Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." It always kind of was peculiar to me. He didn't say heart. I'm like, why wouldn't you want to transform my heart? He's like, no, because the mind is the control center. And mindset matters when it comes to resilience. And the New Living Translation says, "Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think." Now, I also want to say some of us might be saying, okay, I already know that. Common knowledge is not always common practice. So today may be new information for us, or it may be information we've heard, but to what degree am I actually practicing these things and making them a habit in my life? So let's take a look at this as we're talking about mindset. So when we encounter a new situation, what happens is we form thoughts about that situation. And then we start telling ourselves a story. So our thoughts, what we believe about ourselves and our situation, what we believe about others, and what we believe about God, those are our thoughts. And our thoughts, what we think, what we believe, actually impacts what we feel. Think about it. If I feel like I am, or if I think that I'm a loser and no one likes me, how am I going to feel? Sad, maybe depressed, a little anxious. So what we think impacts how we feel. And then the emotions that get generated by our thoughts actually impact our behaviors and our actions. So if I think I'm a loser, no one likes me, I feel anxious, sad, depressed, then I'm probably going to isolate. I'm not going to engage in community. So what I believe determines how I behave. What I believe determines how I behave. And that's why mindset is so important to the Lord. He's like, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then how we act is going to create results in our lives. So this cycle, it's so interesting, because often I think what we do is if I just stop myself from feeling this way. Has that ever worked, by the way? Probably not. Or if I just stop this behavior, then it becomes behavior management. That's why God says be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because if I can examine my thought, then I can change my thought, which impacts all the other things, which is really important. So let's just give a quick example. First off, well, I'll say that in a minute. So let's say that a thought comes into our mind, I'm not good at this. Then our feeling is going to be, I feel fear, anxiety, hopelessness, and then my behavior, I'm just not even going to try, or maybe I'm going to isolate. And did you know that we have up to 50,000 thoughts a day? Holy Moses. And 80% of the thoughts are negative. 90% of those thoughts are repetitive. So part of resilience is even noticing, what are the thoughts that I'm having rather than the thoughts having me? And we'll talk about that in our 7 R's of resilience. But our thoughts can fall into regrets of the past, fear of the future, unhealthy comparison, blame. And as we think about mindset and why it matters, God says, okay, those thoughts that aren't true, this is what he says. He says, demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, we know this verse. How many of us know this verse? How many of us would say on a daily basis we actually live this verse out, take those thoughts, put them in handcuffs? Some of us do. Yeah. So it's a habit to learn to take, again, rather than my thoughts taking me captive, I take my thoughts captive and I make them obedient to Christ, which essentially means that I align them with the Word of God, of what He says about Himself, me, my circumstances, which means we actually have to be in the Word of God, which common sense is not always common practice. So just like a reminder for us, and be made new in the attitude of your mind. So when we focus on what God's word reminds us to do, we take that thought captive that I mentioned earlier, and it can look a little bit more like this. So rather than, I just can't do this, we take that thought captive and we, what I call, reframe it and say, you know what, I have gifts and talents and I can grow. And then that's going to impact how I feel, and I'm going to feel more encouraged, more hopeful, more curious, and I'm saying, you know what, I'm actually going to put myself out there. Because if it doesn't work out, and if I fail, I can bounce forward. I can be resilient. So it really starts in our mind, and here's a news flash for us, is that we can actually choose what thoughts that we, the thoughts we dwell on and believe. How many of us believe that, that we can choose the thoughts we dwell on? Now notice how I didn't say we can choose our thoughts. Because if there's 50,000 thoughts coming at me in a day, I don't think I'm going to be able to, you know, choose the ones that come in. Over time, we can filter and they'll, you know, less of those not wanted ones will come. But the point is that when thoughts come, I can pick the one, okay, I'm going to ruminate, I'm going to dwell on that one, that's going in handcuffs, that's getting held captive to Jesus Christ, because where your thoughts go, your life will flow. Where your thoughts go, your life will flow. So let me talk briefly about our 7 R's of resilience, and then we're going to have a little bit of practice time here in just a minute. So our thoughts are a really powerful force, and they can be a self-fulfilling prophecy if we focus on them. So this is where your handout's going to come a little bit in handy, or you can take a picture, of the screen as well when this is all up. But the first R of resilience is recognize. So recognize is really about being self-aware. It's about being recognizing your thought. So that thought that's coming in your mind, it's recognizing it and disrupting the negative thought cycle with a new thought ultimately. So stop and notice, okay, I have this situation going on, it's stressful or feel fearful or whatever case. I'm going to stop and I'm going to notice, what is my thought and emotion about my current circumstance? Just get present to it. What story am I telling myself about what's currently happening? And what's the impact? What's the impact of that story that I'm telling myself or the way that I'm thinking? So that's our first R. The second R, when we're building resilience, is we want to remember. What do you know to be true about God, about who God is and what He says about you? So I'm having this thought. Okay, I need to remember what is true, what's true about God, what does He say is true about me? And then the third thing that we want to do is we want to then reflect. So as I'm reflecting, I'm going to look back on my life and how I've experienced God's faithfulness in the past. So while I may be doubting and fearful and anxious now, I'm going to look back and say, Lord, I'm going to reflect on what I need to remember from how You've been faithful in the past and apply it to my current situation. And then our fourth R of resilience is refine. Life's challenges, if we don't let them crush us, will actually make us stronger. So this is where I need to remember, how has what I've gone through thus far refined me and maybe even positioned me to go through what I'm currently go through with greater strength? So we need to remember that. And, you know, ironically or not, I love how the Lord and Holy Spirit work. So I've been going through the book of Psalms, and just so happens that I was in Psalm 66 today that I think demonstrates this R of refine and resilience overall. But it says, "For You, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried." You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. So trials will come, temptations will come, and yes, God even tests us, not to be mean, but he's like, I want, you know, that opening verse, when we're tested, we can see where our faith is and we know where we need to be, continue to be refined. So looking at our situation and how has it actually refined us and equipped us to meet similar challenges now or in the future. And then we want to reframe. So how can you change your focus or perspective of the challenge that you're currently experiencing and reframe it through the lens of faith? We're going to do an exercise on this here in just a couple of minutes. The sixth R is rely. What relationships can you rely on to help you, walk with you, encourage you, challenge you, and pray for you in this season? There's a lot of studies that have been done on the fact that relationships, close relationships, especially relationships rooted and grounded in the Lord, relying on relationships builds our resilience. And sometimes when we're going through hard things, we want to isolate and do it alone and kind of, like, you know, pull up our bootstraps. But no, this is where we actually need to rely on one another so we can build our spiritual immune system. And then the seventh is respond. So as we've gone through all of these steps, now how will you choose to respond to your current challenge through the lens of faith? And remembering it's a choice that we make. And so it's actually taking action through the lens of faith about how we're going to respond. So you have that worksheet for you that you can take, and it'll take about 20 or 30 minutes to thoughtfully go through it. But we're going to be at times in life where I don't know that I'm going to remember all the seven R's. If you're anything like me, past your 50s, you might remember three. So we're going to do an on-the-spot resilience. So for on-the-spot resilience, I've boiled it down to recognize, reframe, and respond. So this is your, you know, in the moment, all right, I'm having this thought. I'm going to recognize what this thought is. What is my thought? What is the emotion? What's the impact that it's having on me right now? And then I'm going to reframe it. Okay, I'm going to take this thought, I'm going to hold it captive to Christ, and I'm going to reframe it through the filter of faith, and then I'm going to choose my response. So even though I am afraid or I'm not sure what's next, I'm going to reframe it. God is faithful. He is all-knowing. He works everything for my good and his glory. And so I'm going to respond to this challenge by, and then fill in the blank. So recognize, reframe, and respond. Now this next thing isn't in your handout because the Lord gave it to me after they were printed. Just kind of happens that way. But we're going to do an exercise here in a minute. And what I want you to do is that situation that I talked about earlier that's causing stress or a little bit of anxiety or maybe a lot of fear or anxiety, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes on your own to answer these questions that are up here. So the first is to recognize and write down what is the thought and what are the emotions that you're having around that current circumstance. And then also write down what's the impact of that emotion. Okay, so that thought, recognize it. What's the thought? What are the feelings? What's the impact currently? And then second, reframe. So looking through a positive, renewed, and faith-filled perspective, what is a productive new thought? And then the last piece is go ahead and write down, okay, through that new lens of faith, what is your response and what action will you take? Make sense? All right, so I'm going to give you a couple minutes to work through that on your own, and then we're going to have an opportunity in small groups to do the next part. So go ahead and do that. Let me give you an example really quickly in case you're kind of a little bit struggling. What are you talking about? So let's say that a current example is a job and career change. So I'm going to recognize my thought, I'm not good enough, what if I fail? So that's the thought I'm recognizing. And then I feel afraid and anxious. And the impact is that I'm not going to take risks and I'm going to stay in my comfort zone and probably miss opportunities. Now, when I'm reframing that, a new faith-fueled thought is I don't have to be perfect. If I fail, it's okay. Failure's part of learning and growing, and my identity and worth are not in my performance. That's my reframe. And then my response now is, you know what? I'm going to respond with faith. I'm going to take on new projects. I'm going to do the best I can, work with excellence, and I'm going to trust the outcome to God. Does that example help? Okay. So go ahead and take some time on your own to work through your own thought through those on-the-spot resilience, and then we'll get into groups. Okay, in just a second, we're going to have an opportunity to get into groups, but I want to call your attention to the bottom of the worksheet that says the aim of the exercise that I just want to reiterate is not, it's to have a balanced perspective on difficult life events, not to simply stimulate positive thinking. That is not what we're doing here. We're not, it's not pop psychology. Psychology actually stole ideas from God because God knows, then we take those thoughts captive. So, you know, positive thinking actually can be a way of avoiding, if we think about it. So it's really holding the two things in tension, positive and negative thoughts about something, they actually can coexist. So what we want to do is we really want to realize what those negative thoughts are so that we can bring more of what is true into perspective and not be stuck in just seeing what's undesirable about our circumstance, but being able to see the good in it because God is in the circumstance with us. So that I just want to make that clear. Make sense? So in just a minute, what I'm going to have us do is get into groups of three. It's really important that it's three for timing's sake. Before you do that, here's a couple of things. What we're going to do in these groups is you're each going to have, this says 2 minutes, but I'm going to give you 3 minutes each. And you're going to have the opportunity to share with your partners the recognize, reframe, and response. So just sharing with them, what is the thought that you're recognizing, the emotions that go along with that, and what's the current impact? What is a reframe that you're working towards? Now I realize you may be like, but I don't really believe this right now. That's okay. Just reframe it. And then what have you written down as your new response to that circumstance? Another thing real quickly is to be good listeners, let's practice empathic listening. What empathic listening is not, it's not fixing or advising. I know we love to do that. So when we're in our groups, just look at the woman, let them know you're listening, thank them for sharing, don't jump in and say, me too, or this is what you should do, or anything like that. This is just holding this space for your sister to be able to speak these things out, because we know that when we speak things out into the light, what happens? It already starts getting dismembered. And also, too, if any of us are thinking, oh my gosh, I didn't think I'm gonna have to share this out loud, not forcing you to, so share what you're comfortable with. I will say that that's the voice of the enemy that says, no, you can't say that. And that might be an indication that we're in a little bit of captivity if we have fear of just vulnerability. But again, not forcing you, just consider that there's no shame in our game in this room. Make sense? All right, so in just a minute, you're going to get in your groups of three. You're going to choose who goes first, and then I'm going to hit the timer, and that person's going to have 3 minutes to share, and we're just going to be good listeners, and then I'll tell you when to move on to the next person. All right, go ahead and get in your groups of three. Make sure you're facing each other. Group of three. Does anybody not have a group of three? Do we just have a group of two back here? Okay, we've got one. Is there one person up here? Want to go back in the blue? Go ahead and go choose who goes first. You have 3 minutes. Let me just pray real quickly before this time. Father, we come before you. We thank you that we are on holy ground, and we thank you for the privilege of being able to take our thoughts captive and hold them and make them obedient to you. So, Father, just work. Holy Spirit, use this time to purge, to break free, to have the truth revealed, and your Spirit to revive our thoughts. We pray this in your name. Okay, first person, go. Let's spend a couple minutes. I'd love to hear how did it go? What are you noticing about the on-the-spot resilience? Talk to me. How did that time go for you? What'd you notice? Okay, say more about that. How do you mean? Isn't that interesting? Yeah. There's power in listening, for sure. What else? What else did you notice? Yeah, please.
Well, we felt recognized is kind of something we do naturally, but whereas reframe is not. Reframe is more intentionality, and that really makes the difference when you can look at something and reframe the way you look at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we can recognize that thought and just ride it into the sunset.
That's
and ruminate on it, but through the lens of faith, for sure. Yeah, thanks. What else? Yeah.
It doesn't matter your generations, you're still dealing with faith. Mm-hmm. I have a 17-year-old with me, and I'm 62. Yeah, and I'm 62, and we bonded on one of the same issues.
Yeah, amen. And that rely is so huge in community, too, because knowing that we're not alone is really a big deal. What else? Anything else stand out for you? Yeah, please.
I found that this exercise itself, being intentional and being able to talk about it and have the frame, really kind of already has released stress and anxiety, and made me really stop and think about what was. I told them, and I'll tell you.
Yeah. Love it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Because it, like, sometimes we're not aware, and then our life is going in a direction where our thoughts go, our life will flow. And so if we can be aware, then we can take action. Thanks for being honest about that. Appreciate that. Anything else? Anyone want to add anything? Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have any good resources for, like, how to practice reframing? Since it's not something, for me, I struggle with that.
Yeah.
So just having more examples of getting into the habit of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, well, first of all, your point, habit is practice. So even the three R's, like practice, practice, practice. But, yes, so this is not just about reframing, but a good friend of mine, Deb Gorton, wrote this book. It came out during the pandemic and did not get nearly the airtime it should have because everything else was going on in the world. But it's in the bookstore. And this is Embracing Uncomfortable. The tagline's facing our fears while pursuing our purpose, but it's really facing our fears. There are some reframe things, and I think it's a book on resilience. So I think that could be a good one. As far as other specifics on the reframe, I don't know. The internet has a lot of things. If you look up the reframe and resilience, that might be helpful. Well, let's do this in the ending of our time together. And again, remember, this is a practice. This is not a one and done. This is not like, oh, I tried this today and put it on the shelf, because then, you know, information doesn't turn into transformation unless there's application. So look for ways that you can utilize this. And then I want to share in the remainder of our time together some other things, some other practices, some other habits to help us to build a resilient life. Again, we're building our spiritual immune system with these practices. And how many of you knew that gratitude and thanksgiving are actually resilience practices? Again, common knowledge isn't always common practice. Maybe even keep a journal. I kept a journal for a couple of years where every morning during my quiet time, I would write down what I was grateful for. And then I kind of fell off the wagon, to be honest. I haven't done that in probably 6 or 8 months. And I'm realizing how that practice for 2 years actually built up my resilience for some things I'm going through now. So get your gratitude on, and then, as Philippians 4:8 says, you know, this positive faith-fueled thinking and perspective that we're talking about. But remember that God's word tells us to focus on things that are true and noble and right, pure, lovely, admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about, dwell on these things. The other thing is to trust in God's sovereignty and plan. And this is part of the remembering, trust in the Lord at all times and lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. It doesn't say he will debumpify, that's not a thing, your path, but he will make it straight, even though it looks like it's going a little to the left or to the right. So practicing trusting the Lord. And then focus on what you can control and surrender the rest to God. How many of us would say that we spend more time on the things that we cannot control? Worry, anxiety, fear, all these things we give so much energy and time to. So focus on the things that you can control, which these are the things that are within our control. We can control our thoughts and our responses. We can control our awareness. The words we choose, we can choose our choices, we can choose our behaviors, our actions, our attitudes, and we can also choose our self-talk. You might be saying, no, I can't. Yes, you can, trust me. With practicing resilience, we can. Those are the things we can't control. Now, there are things that are outside of our control, just a few. One thing outside of our control is the past. How many of us find ourselves dwelling on what was or what wasn't? We're in the past. Can't control it. Surrender it. The outcome. I cannot control the outcome. I can do the things that the Lord's calling me to do, but I can't control the outcome, so I surrender the outcome to the Lord. I can't control other people's behavior and actions. How many of you secretly wish that you had the superpower to do that? Thank you. Me too. You can't do that. Other people's opinion. Can't control other people's opinion. So if something's causing you stress, worry, and anxiety because it's someone else's opinion of you, you can't control it. Can't control the future. Again, sometimes I wish I could, but I really don't because I'm not God. And then we can't control what people think of us, people's opinions, what people think of us. So just notice how much of our headspace or our time or energy we give to these things and say, cast all of your cares, all of the things you cannot control on God, and focus on the things that you can. The last one I wanted to show you on this slide is physical exercise. Now, Alicia backed me up on this. Physical exercise will build your spiritual resilience, I promise you. Because God, in his miraculous ways, he created something called serotonin. He created something called oxytocin. And these are called happy hormones. They get released when you get your body moving. So if you want mental resilience and spiritual resilience, kick in some physical resilience as well. And then a couple other practices. Practice forgiveness. If there's anybody in your life right now that you are holding on to bitterness or resentment, hard feelings, your resilience will be built when you practice forgiveness. Trust me, I had some. It's funny when you're teaching on resilience, like all the things that come your way to make sure you're actually credibly talking about it. One is, I digress a little bit, I spent 6 hours on creating this presentation, went to bed, it's 9:30. I'm like, oh, I'll look at it one more time. Guess what? Gone. Like literally gone, did software recovery, everything. Gone. And I'm like, Lord, you are just giving me an opportunity to practice what I preach. So I'm like, I gave myself like 2 minutes to be angry and annoyed and worried. I'm like, nope, resilient. How can I reframe? Well, hey, it's an opportunity to be able to walk the talk. And then I also had a really challenging situation with a friend of mine this past week. I'm like, and I so wanted to hang on to being right. I was mad. And bitter and like, brr. And I was like, nope, opportunity to be resilient, practice resilience and practice forgiveness. So that's another practice for you. Grow in sensitivity to Holy Spirit. I pray that he would give you, according to his glorious riches, strength, resilience in your inner being. Holy Spirit is your strength. He is your resilience. So practice the presence of God. Practice hearing God's voice. Crowd out the external noise that's happening. Get yourself into a quiet space and just say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Like, help me be in tune with your voice, Holy Spirit, because I want that to be the loudest, not the one in my head or not the ones that are out here, right? And then quiet time with God and his word and prayer. You know, blessed are those who delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Not reading it, like actually meditating on it, dwelling on it, which I know some of us are thinking, that's like Christianity 101. I know, but how many times I talk to women, how often are you in the word? Well, I really haven't been. Hey, no judgment. I've been there. Just a loving reminder that your resilience will be built when you're in the book of resilience. That's much more, the book of hope. Because God's word's a book of hope, which is also a book of resilience. So go ahead and take a look at these different habits and just write down what are one or two that you're like, you know what? Those are the top one or two that I, not only do I need them to build resilience, I'm actually committed to practicing them. Just jot that down for yourself. Give you 15 seconds or so. Jot them down. It's not in your handout. Just go ahead and jot down. These are the practices that I will make a pact with myself. So gratitude, positive faith-fueled thinking, trust in God's sovereignty, focusing on what you can control, physical exercise, practicing forgiveness, growing in sensitivity to Holy Spirit, and then the final one is quiet time with God and his word. So choose a couple of those. And now go ahead and turn to a partner, and I'm just going to give you a handful of seconds to share with your partner, what are the one or two practices that you wrote down that you are committed to cultivating in your life? Go ahead, turn to a partner. Give you real quick, I'll give you about 30 seconds to share with each other. Okay, we are gonna start landing the plane here. If you have any questions, I know this time went by quickly. This could be a couple hour training, really, but I wanted to give you enough tools to equip you with. And just a reminder that, you know, we can talk about these things, but it really is the application of things that's going to make a difference. Let me pray to end our time together. And then if you have any questions, roll on up. I'll hang out here for a little bit. And then I'm also going to put my information on the screen so you can use that for a later time. But let's just pray. Let me pray to seal up this space. Father, we thank you, and Jesus, we love you. We thank you for all of the examples of resilience in your word, and we ask you for resilience because we need your strength, the strength that prevails, and we will not lose heart in our circumstances, however small, however big that they are. Lord, we choose you. We give you our allegiance. We give you our undivided love, and we choose to be single-minded towards you. Again, we ask you for resilience. Fill us with your overcoming and victorious strength, Lord of heaven and earth. Strengthen us. Strengthen our mind and our heart and our affection. Strengthen our emotions. Give us strength of will and the strength to choose to not give in when things get difficult. Fill us with your mighty and glorious resilience, and by faith, we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks so much. Here, if you want to stay in touch, you can hover your phone over the QR code. It'll pop up my business card. Feel free to email me. I also do life coaching, resilience coaching, so if that sounds like something you might be interested in, would love to chat with you and see if it would be a good fit. But thank you, and I think it's lunchtime now, so get your grub, and we will see you in our conversations, candid conversations after lunch. Sound good? All right, awesome. Thank you.